Hello and welcome to Jaw Law. I'm your host, Joe McGregor from Dallas, Texas, and welcome to 2023. We trust everyone had a great new year and is ready to get back into the swing of things. We're going to start off this year with something pretty simple, and it's one of those things that's so simple that I probably overlooked talking about it, and that is about entities, the entities we form to run our practices, to be an independent contractor, to own real estate, all those things. Now, I will warn you, this is just an overview. Every state has its own laws that relate to forming an entity. We cannot cover every single state and every difference or similarity between the states, so I'm going to keep it a little general, but for the most part, these principles will generally apply to everyone. So the place we need to start off is, what is an entity? An entity is a device that the law permits to allow us to shield what happens personally from what happens corporately. Put another way, it allows me to own things personally and not be affected what I do in my day job or a company that I own. Corporations have been around for a while. In our country, corporations started virtually the day our country started. Not quite exactly, but that's where it originates in our country. And they've served as somewhat of a propellant for economic growth. You can hate them all you want, but they did pay for whatever device you're complaining about it on. Originally, we had corporations, and eventually, we had other devices that came along. Particularly in our country, we had the LLC, which formed, I believe, is in the 70s in Wyoming, and eventually made its way to every state. But we formed these entities to help provide a little insulation from the risk associated with business from our personal wealth. Entities are governed by state law. So the rules that pertain to forming a Delaware LLC will look different than a Texas LLC, or Washington Corporation will look different than a Mississippi Corporation. And that's probably the first point I would make as people go out onto the internet to do their research. What you might find may be accurate for Wyoming, but not for your state. So something to be aware of. What's relevant to our conversation is that most states, for some period of time, forbid professionals from forming entities. Eventually, they caved in and said, why can't we have entities? And now, virtually all states do. It comes with a caveat that most states require that if you are going to perform professional services, it has to be through a professional entity. So various states have different vehicles. Almost all of them have a professional corporation and or a professional limited liability company. And most states will say, if you're going to do dentistry, it needs to be through like a PC, PLLC, which, by the way, is virtually the same thing as a regular LLC or regular corporation, just with the P on the front, the professional designation. So when clients ask, what's the difference between an LLC and a PLLC? Virtually nothing, at least in Texas and most states, pretty much nothing other than the law, the state legislature requires that you use the PLLC if you're going to do dentistry. Does it mean all entities that you own have to be a PLLC? If you're going to use it for real estate, the rule doesn't apply, only for rendering professional services. Now we move on to the fun topic, which is, how do I form my entity? What are my options? Well, there is no rule that says you have to use a lawyer or a service or anything. You can do it yourself. And if you can do it yourself with no problem, go right ahead. The second option are services out there like LegalZoom or Rocket Lawyer, things like that. So technically, how this works is they can't be your lawyer. They can't tell you that what they're doing is legally sufficient for you. They walk a very fine line. It's been litigated a bunch, but basically, they're order takers. You're telling them what you want to do, and usually you're using some reference material that they've provided to say, hey, this is probably what you want to do. This is the entity you want to do if you're doing X, and this is the entity if you're doing Y. But You make a decision, they take your order, and they get it done. In some states, this is easier than doing it for yourself because the state makes it difficult. In other states, it's pretty simple, and it takes just as much effort to do it yourself as it does to fill out the questionnaire on LegalZoom. So something to think about. There are non-lawyers who will form entities. The problem with that, now this is not going to apply across the board, but many states, and probably most, I'm trying to give people the benefit of the doubt here, but most states will say that a non-lawyer can't form an entity because they are essentially making a representation that that entity is legally sufficient. Anyway, it's kind of a fine line. I don't think very many attorneys get offended. Most attorneys aren't territorial about forming entities, so I don't really get annoyed by it. But it is something to consider if one of your advisors tries to form an entity for you. That advisor might not know things. So it's kind of the act of doing it is somewhat of a yellow flag. And that's all I'll say about that. The final option is the traditional option, which is using a lawyer. Do you need a lawyer? People ask me this all the time. Do I need a lawyer to form an entity? The answer, no, you do not. We just ran through some options for you. The reason you use a lawyer is that it's somewhat of an insurance policy. Now, I represent very intelligent and educated people. And even with that, we spend an inordinate amount of time undoing or amending entities that have been filed without the help of a lawyer. Some of these have been because they checked a wrong box, they formed the wrong entity, they put the wrong people on the formation documents. Whatever it is, we have to do a lot of undoing. That doesn't mean that everyone who forms an entity has to start over. So people can get it done. It's just maybe surprisingly more nuanced than a lot of people realize, or else everyone would do it right the first time. That being said, I want to stress something. Forming an entity is probably like one of the lowest margin activities most law firms engage in. Most law firms or most lawyers are not doing it to make money. They're doing it just because it has to get done, and their competitor is Rocket Lawyer or LegalZoom or you doing it on your own. So there is somewhat of a cost regulator in the marketplace. That's not where lawyers are making their money. So I think that most lawyers don't care how you do it. Most lawyers are happy to help. And I would like to think that when you ask a lawyer, what you're paying for is to make sure it gets done right the first time. Now, as much as I would like to cheerlead for my colleagues in the law at least once a year, and fortunately, probably not much more than that, but at least once a year, we have to fix something that a lawyer did wrong. Most of the times, this is because, as dentists, there are certain rules that apply to forming a dental entity, and they were unaware of it. So yeah, using a lawyer is an insurance policy, but not a perfect one. Make sure that if you're going to pay a lawyer to do it, they know what they're doing. Now, finally, there's a little bouquet of issues that come up, and I want to touch on these really quick. Number one, this is very state dependent, but most states that do not allow non-dentists to own means no dentist can appear on that entity. So in the state of Texas, for instance, you can't be a non-dentist and own a professional entity. And the state doesn't care how much, not 1%, not 49%. People fight me on this sometimes. They're like, yeah, but they're going to own a minority share. Doesn't matter. Can't happen. Some states, that's okay. But you need to know the state rule. If the state says no one can own, it doesn't mean no one can own a majority. It means no one can own any fraction of an entity. Another question I get is, oh, now that I've got an entity, does that mean people can't sue me? No, that does not mean that. We form entities to provide insulation against the outside world. That does not mean that someone can't try to get us. Someone can't try to sue us. There's no law that says that people can't sue you. It's just, are you protected when someone sues you? So having an entity is not an insulator against a lawsuit. It's a protection from liability from the lawsuit. Now, how can you ruin that protection? The two most common things, number one, commingling of funds. Basically, do you treat this entity different than your personal finances? If you are using your practice credit card to go shopping on the weekend, then you have commingled funds. And there's 101 different ways or 1,001 different ways you can commingle funds, but you're trying to create a true separation between your personal life and your corporate life. If you blur the lines, then those blurred lines are exposure to liability from the outside world. The other thing is just simply not treating your entity like it's its own entity. That entity needs insurance. That entity needs a bank account. And that's pretty standard. But that entity is going to need things in its name, not yours. So if you go get the phone in your personal name and not the entity's, that doesn't look as great. And it's rarely going to be one thing that ruins it all. But you're creating this totality of an image that's representing the idea that there are two separate entities, your personal life and your corporate life. Part of that is keeping track of documents, by the way. So if you're going to buy a company car, you need to take a vote and stick that vote paper, the paper that you use to make that vote, you need to keep it in a binder or a corporate record book or a trapper keeper. You got to do something with it. You got to treat it like it's its own entity. Finally, I want to dispel something. We form entities to increase the odds that we're going to be protected, but it is not a protection from everything. And most importantly, as professionals, most states will say that malpractice will relate to the professional, not the entity. So even though you have an entity that operates your practice, you as a professional, you still might have exposure. That is why you get malpractice insurance, so that you're both protected. In closing, I just want to make sure everyone has what they think they have. I will say not everyone necessarily needs to form an entity, and that sounds crazy, but that's probably a conversation for a different day. But if you have an entity, we need to make sure that it's set up right and that you're doing what you need to do to honor the protection that the state law wants to give you. And so long as you are getting the protection that the state law wants to give you, we don't care who forms it or how they form it, just so long as it is formed correctly. If you have any questions about this or anything else, please feel free to reach out to us. My email is jmcgregor@mcgregorfirm.com. Even if you don't have a question, we'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to drop us a line. That's all we've got today. We will see you next time.